Hey, everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 42. And what we're going to talk about today is one of my favorite subjects when it comes to gardening, and that is compost. It always amazes me that you can take different kinds of organic material, put it all together, and over time with the work of God's creatures, their decomposers in the soil, it breaks down into this rich, dark humus content that can be widely used by the plants. And it just amazes me how God has created that cycle to be used. And so I love composting. So we're going to talk about ways to compost, why to compost, tips on how to compost, those kinds of things today. So it should be a good show for you. And before we do that, though, I want to mention a few items regarding business. First of all, a supporter for today is GrowVeg. And GrowVeg is an online mapping software where you can map out your garden and it shows you how far apart things need to be, how many plants per bed, how many plants per row, that kind of thing. It actually has a square foot gardening mapping on there also. So you can, if you're doing square foot garden, you can do it that way. And it has, you know, all the major types of vegetables. It also has areas where you can write your own in there, different kinds of plant varieties, all that kind of stuff can be added onto your map. And a great way to keep track of where you've planted what, when, and how. And that's on, you can visit that at growveg.com. We have actually a discount to that in our Legacy Partner Program members page, 20% off. And I think it's like $25 a year or something. So 20% off of that, you know, you'll save a little bit of money on that. But it's a pretty good program. And so I encourage you to check that out. Also, if you haven't been on the website recently, you'll know that just a couple days ago, I posted a video of a review that I did on two different kinds of broad forks. If you know what a broad fork is, that's great. If not, check out the video and take a look at the different kinds that I have there and the one that I recommend. And that will that'll be a good way for you to keep track of what... I'm going to try to continue to make some reviews about different products and keep you aware of some of the things. Most of them... just because gardening is a hot topic of mine, and there's a lot of different cool tools and things like that. A lot of them are going to be on gardening, but otherwise some will be on, you know, financial products and things like that as well. But anyway, that will be up there on the website. You can do that too. You can also visit us on YouTube and see it that way, which brings up the next item. That is, make sure you're following us on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. There's a place you can do that on the right column of the website. And that would be a great help in getting the word out. Provide us with feedback, too. That would be great. Best way to give feedback is to email me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. That's steve@thelegacypodcast.com. That's the best way to do feedback. There's other ways you can do it as well, but that's the best way. And so I would encourage you that. And then finally, I want to encourage you, if you really like the show and you want to help support me in this endeavor, then to consider becoming a Legacy Partner in our Legacy Partner program. That's $30 a year or $3 a month. It gives you access to the exclusive members-only pages that has right now a debt snowball program. It has a grow chart. And then it has the discount to the GrowVeg software. And other items are coming as well. And then finally, and maybe most importantly, is that it helps support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So if you think what I'm doing here is worth a quarter, then consider signing up as a Legacy Partner for $3 a month or $3 a month or $30 a year. So that takes care of the intro segment. So let's go ahead now and talk about composting. First of all, let me ask the question, what is compost? Well, real simply, the definition for compost is that it's decaying organic matter. It is various material that at one point was alive, that's organic matter, that is now in the stage of decay, at one stage or another of decay. That's what compost is. And of course, the finished compost is where it has decayed down to a level where the plants can access it pretty well. It's part of God's created cycles of abundance. He's created, of course, as I mentioned, during the water cycle, the hydrological cycle. He has created all these different kinds of cycles for the benefit of his creation and his creatures, whereby we can gain access to some of his abundance. And the compost is a part of the nitrate cycle and a part of the carbon cycle. And both of those, of course, are the breakdown of various and the transport of nitrates and carbon. And so how it works is that in the nitrate cycle, compost plants and animal waste exposes the nitrogen they contain to nitrogen fixer microorganisms. So the decomposers and the microorganisms in the soil then break down that material into a form that is available to plants. Just as with the water cycle, God has made it possible for the same water to be moved around all over the globe, so too he's created nitrates, the nitrogen and nitrates in the soil or in the plant matter, to be moved around to various locations and various needed components of his creation at various times through this process of the nitrate cycle. It also involves the carbon cycle. Green plants use carbon dioxide gas and water and sunlight to make sugars and other carbon-containing compounds that animals use as food. These carbon compounds in plants and animal waste provide food for decomposers in the compost pile. And then material that have passed through the decomposer's body and microbial bodies themselves, so the insects, the bugs, the microbes, the bacteria, that kind of stuff that breaks down this stuff, they actually become part of the compost itself. And these provide nutrients to the plants to continue the carbon cycle. So God uses natural recycling to provide sustainable systems. And so when you're composting, what you're really doing is you're accessing and taking advantage of God's already created recycling programs so that you can maintain some level of sustainability on your farm. So why is it important to compost? Well, of course, one reason is that we, just as I mentioned, are coordinating with God's already designed cycles and systems and structures that he has put in place in his creations for our abundance. And so we're participating with that. The more that we participate with his ordered universe, the greater profit and benefit we will receive. So that's one reason. The second thing is it recycles waste. You know, our landfills are our total waste, no pun intended. It just is amazing to me the amount of material that could be composted, that could be used in other ways, just being sent to the landfills. And I know that most dumps now, most recycle centers, whatever you want to call them, have places where you can put recyclable material and it goes to recycle. But I wonder sometimes the amount of expense that goes into hauling all of this material using biofuel or using fossil fuels and all this to transport all these kinds of recyclable material to various parts of the county, various parts of cities, various parts of the state to break them down and to reuse them. And it can't possibly be overall sustainable for that kind of a system. And so by allowing our waste, the organic waste that we produce on our property, to go back to our property is the most efficient and sustainable way of recycling and composting. Second reason why it's important to compost, or third reason, I guess, is it provides the much-needed humus and organic material to the soil. Most soils that we have in our nation, and for those of you listening in other countries, probably you're not much different. Really, across the globe, we are losing topsoil at record pace. And a lot of that, of course, is due to tilling and the common agricultural practices that are common today. But we are depleting the organic and humus content in the soil. And so the more that we can provide organic and humus content to the soil, the better we can build up that soil. And, you know, we're all about building a legacy here on the Legacy Podcast. And so, you know, what good is it to continue to take from the soil and never put anything back in for future generations? No, I want the property, I want the soil on my property to be better in generations to come than I have received it. And so the best way that we can do that is to add organic or humus content to the soil. And the best way to do that is through composting material. It also provides nutrition to the soil in the form of that is most conducive to plant use. You know, there's no need for chemical fertilizers or even organic fertilizers for that matter when you're using abundance of compost. It has all of the necessary ingredients, all the necessary components within it for the best growth of the plants. So those are some of the reasons why. Now let's talk about how to make compost. And, you know, there is very specific methods that you can use to make compost, and there are really super simple methods to use compost. And as you might imagine, there is all different levels within in between that. Real simply, compost is mixing together different kinds of organic matter. In a nutshell, that's really what you're doing with compost, whether it be a compost pile or whether it be, you know, composting in place or however you decide to compost. Really, all you're doing is you're mixing different kinds of organic matter together. Now, you can increase the benefit to the compost by adding more different diversity and by mixing it up and making sure that it's at the right temperature, all these different kinds of things that we're going to talk about. But real simply, it's basically just mixing different kinds of organic matter together. And that that makes for compost. For the best results, you want to mix green matter, which is high in nitrogen, with high carbon material, which we're going to call brown matter. And the ratio really should be about 30 to 1. And so you want to mix about 30 parts carbon to 1 part nitrogen. And so what does that mean? Well, vegetable peelings, so that would be like, you know, apple peelings, banana peelings, the core to an apple, those kinds of things. And other, you know, vegetable peelings, potato peelings, the skin of a carrot when you peel it off, all those kinds of things. Those would be considered vegetable peelings. They're at a 12-to-1 ratio. So obviously, if you have a compost pile full of only vegetable material, it's going to be in need of carbon, and it will smell, it'll get slimy, and it'll decompose really fast, but you won't have the humus content, you won't have the organic matter content to it because you are lacking in a 31 ratio. Grass clippings have about a 20 or 30 to 1. It depends on how dry and what kind of grass it is, but usually it's about 20 especially. And that I'll bring this up now because it's going to be repeated over again. The greener the material, the more high in nitrogen. So if you take grass clippings and let them dry out for a day or two, some of that nitrogen has been already consumed into the air and into the ground, and so what is left is not as high in nitrogen, and so the ratio is going to be higher, more like the 30 to 40 to 1, probably more like 30 to 1 than it will be 20 to 1. Fresh manure varies, but as you might imagine, manure is high in nitrogen, and so, for example, poultry manure is 7 to 1, sheep manure is about 16 to 1, horse manure is 22 to 1, cow manure is 18 to 1. So obviously, if you're going to have manure in your compost pile to get the appropriate ratio, you need to add some other things that are going to be higher than that, maybe some straw or some, something like that, that will be able to add a higher amount of carbon. One thing about adding manures, you don't want to add dog or cat or pig or human manure directly to your compost pile. You want to let that set longer than a year if you're going to use that at all. And I'll talk a little bit here later about composting human manure. But all the other kinds of manure I mentioned there, those are really hot manure, and they can contain parasites because we're omnivores, and so we eat different kinds of foods than the herbivores. Herbivores such as sheep and goats and cows and rabbits, they have a better manure for using in the garden and things like that. You can use the other kind, but you just have to make sure it composts longer than a year. And then coffee grounds have a 20 to 1 ratio. Seaweed has a 19 to 1. Plants and plant cuttings. So if you're pruning your garden or you're weeding your garden, you got weeds, something like that. Those are usually 20 to 1. Leaves, dependent upon, again, whether they're green leaves or dry leaves. Obviously, if they're dry leaves in the fall that have fallen off the tree and they're all brown, those are going to be more like 80 to 1. Whereas the new leaves that have fallen off of a tree, maybe you take some leaves right from a tree that you cut off and trim and you put that in the compost pile, that's going to be more like 50 to 1. And then you have hay, and legume hay, of course, is going to be higher in nitrogen because nitrogen, legumes, you know, they fix nitrogen in their nodules in the soil or in their roots, and they just are a higher nitrogen plant than other plants. And so if you have a highly leguminous hay, it is going to be of higher percentage of nitrogen, more like 15 to 1. Now, non-leguminous hay is 30 to 1. Now, what does that mean? If non-leguminous hay is 30 to 1, that is the appropriate ratio. So if you put hay directly as a mulch over the soil, it's at the perfect ratio to be decomposed. That's why I love hay mulch. Now, it's not very attractive. It's not as good as wood mulch. But hay mulch can be fantastic, especially for those of us who have access to a lot of hay because we live out in the country. And those people who have spoiled hay aren't good for cows or aren't good for, that isn't good for horses or something like that. They're willing to give away some of their hay, and you can put it into your garden. 31 ratio, it's perfect for decomposing into compost. Straw is about 80 to 1. Paper or cardboard, it ranges between 150 and 200 to 1. Now, with all those things, the more you shred it up and the more you keep it moist, the faster it will be able to decompose. But you can put paper and cardboard in there, especially if you're putting a lot of manure or something like that in there. Eggshells, tea bags, those can all be put in there. Sawdust is at 400 to 1. So if you put sawdust in your compost pile, and, you know, at a ratio of, you know, 50% of the material, and then you put in some leaves and some hay and some manure and stuff like that, and you're wondering why it's not breaking down, it's because you don't have the ratios right. 400 to 1 is pretty high in carbon. Now, I'll show you in a moment the best way to use sawdust in order to compost it, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Wood ashes is 25 to 1. And so for the best aerobic activity, you want to make sure that you turn this compost regularly. So you want to have a ratio of 30 to 1. You want to make sure that it turns regularly. Now, the more you turn it, the more it will create oxygen for the bacteria and the microorganisms and everything within the compost pile to be at work. Now, that will also mean that they will activate, and when they activate, they eat more. And so they use up some of the nitrogen in there. So it's not going to be as high a quality if you do it really fast. It's going to lose some of its nitrogen content, but it will be able to finish faster, and it'll be hotter while it's working when you continue to fork it or put holes in it, let air circulate through it, that kind of thing. Another important point about making compost is that you want to make sure it keeps the right moisture. You don't want it to be so wet that all of the nutrients are leaching out of it into the ground, especially if you just have a pile under the ground. But on the second hand, though, you don't want to make it so that it dries out. So you want to make sure that it's not being exposed to the sun. Now, you can do this a number of ways. You can keep it in the shade. That's one way. You can put a covering over to some kind, or you can just continue to add more matter that would be taken away by the solar exposure. Any of those would work, but you want to make sure that you keep moisture in the compost pile itself. And then you can add nitrogen activators or compost activators. And, you know, there's a number of different things you can use. Alfalfa is a good one. So, you know, a lot of rabbit feed is high in alfalfa, and you can take some, you know, rabbit feed, maybe if it's gotten rained on or spoiled or whatever, you can put that into the compost pile. That will really activate. The thing that I like to use the most, now you might think I'm really strange here, but the thing that I like to use the most to activate a compost pile is my own urine. I have a little bucket, especially when I'm out in the garden and out in the yard and the field. And, of course, we don't have a lot of people around us, so I can do this without any problem. I just pee into a bucket, and then I take that bucket, regularly rinse it out with water, and add it to the compost pile. And that nitrogen in the urea really heightens the activity in the compost pile. And so that's another way you can do. You can actually go to garden stores, and you can get activators for compost, and you can do that. There's no real need to do that. If you want to do that, you can do that. It's fine. It, you know, it helps speed up the activity in the compost, but it's not necessary when you've got all these other free means to do that. So that's kind of how you make compost. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the ways, or maybe a better way to phrase it is some of the styles that you can have in your compost. And I use the word styles loosely because, you know, the compost itself doesn't have styles. But to the point, you can have a pile. In other words, this is kind of the least formal way of having a compost. It's just a big pile that you put your organic matter in. And to make things the best, it really should be about 1 cubic yard in area. And so, you know, these little tiny hills, or if you're just putting stuff right directly on the ground with not a lot of organic matter or anything like that, you really need to build that up so it has enough activity going on within it that it produces some heat and begins to break down, pretty good. And that really starts to happen when it's about 1 cubic yard in area. And the problem with using a pile like this is that you will have different levels of decomposition taking place. So, you know, the stuff that you put in there maybe a month ago, it may be broken down pretty good by now and done breaking down and no longer needs to be, you know, worked as compost and can be put on. But the problem is that you've got it associated with some stuff you maybe put on the night before. And it's, you know, it still looks like orange peels and apple peels and, vines and, you know, things like that that you put in there. And so that's certainly not broken down yet. And so you have different levels of composition and breaking down within that pile. And this makes it for difficult. Now, the way to fix that, I think, is by going to a row design. And what a row design is really it's just multiple piles laid side by side, kind of in a horizontal line. And this is the one that I have found to be most effective. It's what I use most of the time. And you just start a pile, remember, about a cubic in area, 1 cubic yard in area. And then, you know, once you get it 1 cubic yard in area, then you start the next one next to it and you just keep piling. Now, what happens with this, the advantage of this, of course, is that the one that you started a while back is decomposing within its own self and at the appropriate rate because it's not having any more things added to it. Secondarily, all the microorganisms, the worms, all of the decomposers that are in there breaking down the organic matter are able to move laterally through the pile into the next pile in this row system. And so this I have found to be the most effective of the simple designs that you can have of a compost pile. It's the one that I use the most for my main compost. Another way is that you can have bins that can store your compost. Now, you can make these up of pallets. I've seen pallet bins. I've seen fencing that is used for bins. I tried this a while back. I used some old chicken fencing that I had and circled that up into a compost pile. I wanted to try to make it neat because my wife was wanting to kind of neaten up the pile a little bit. So I put this around there and made it look like a little fenced off area. And you can do that. You can also use concrete. Some people, you know, make these professional looking concrete bins, and the benefit of that, of course, is that the concrete it won't leach out quite as bad and go back into the soil. You can use cinder blocks to mark off these bins. You can actually go to gardening stores and things like that, and you can get these really nice containers that can store your compost. And, you know, the nice thing about having a bin like this is that it's able to keep things nice and contained. And so it looks real nice. It's good for show. It's good for demonstration. If you have a lot of people coming to your farm, a lot of people, you know, wanting to see how you do things, it's nice to be able to show off those nice bins and have it there. One of the disadvantages is that you have to have more than one because if you just have one, as I mentioned, then you have the same problem as the one singular pile. And so the material is going to be decomposing at different rates within that. And so, you know, you have to have at least two or three, maybe one that's finished, one that's being worked on, and one you're just starting. And, you know, then that can be starting to get a little costly when it comes to three different bins that you're using. Another way that you can create a bin-type system or some kind of enclosure for the compost is using bales of hay or straw to make some enclosures for your compost. Now, I first saw this years ago by Elliot Coleman on a video that I watched of him doing it, and it's a fantastic thing. The reason why is because compost needs air, and, you know, I mentioned earlier, the more air that it has circulating through it, the faster the microorganisms can work and break it down, and, you know, they just work on an aerobic structure. Now, you can break things down anaerobically as well, but using the aerobic bacteria and the aerobic microorganisms work better. And so you want air flowing through your compost. And straw and hay both have air inside their bales. And so as the air flows through that, it's able to work into the compost pile and regulate it just right. It's also nice because as the bales break down, whether it be hay or straw, as they break down as they're exposed to this compost, the microorganisms start to work on them. If they get to be where they're no longer able to basically cause a fencing around that compost, well, you just throw it in the compost and you're already started your next procedure. And then you can get some new hay bales or straw bales or whatever they are and close up those. And so it's a really good way of using them. I just haven't had enough spare hay to do that, or I would probably do that. It sounds like a good program. You can also get composting barrels. You can order these online, or you can go to gardening stores or supply stores, big box stores, whatever they might be. And you can get gardening bins, barrels that you can put compost in. And you know, they work. The good thing about them is that they work really fast. You can, you know, they've got these kind that you can turn on a regular basis. When you turn them, of course, that compost is getting lots of aerobic activity and is able to break down very quickly. The disadvantages to it, there are really two. One is that you can't fit a lot of compost into these barrels. I mean, at the very, very most, these barrels that you can turn are, you know, you're looking at maybe half to three quarters of a cubic yard, something like that. I haven't really calculated the amount of, you know, 55-gallon drum. I don't know what that calculates out to in cubic yards, but it's not a lot of space. And if you've got a large garden, you're going to need more space than that. Secondly, is it's pretty expensive getting these things. It's lots easier to have, you know, just a pile on the ground or a row, a pile of rows, as I mentioned, the second one. That's a whole lot easier to work with in your money than it is to buy these bins. They're pretty expensive. I want to mention now, this might seem kind of off the wall, but one of the best means that you can use for composting is composting toilets. And there is a great section in the downloadable PDF that I have on the website under Abundaculture. Jack Doty in there does a great job in describing the compost toilet that he has, as well as giving some options for other designs that are available for toilet composting. And the great thing about this is that you're using your own waste and you're able to put it back onto your property. Now, some people may balk at the idea of putting your own waste back on the property, but if you put it back onto non-edible plants, ornamentals, you put it back onto even fruit trees or something like that where the part that you're eating is not directly exposed to the soil, there's absolutely no harm, especially if it has been composted after a year. And if it's been composted after 2 years, I mean, you are good to go, especially if it got heated up. And you can put that into vegetable gardens or whatever. You can really do it after a year's time if it composted really good. And I wouldn't be hesitant to do that at all. You know, you can put sawdust. Again, this is you can find this in Abundaculture. So I really recommend you download that resource. It's a fabulous resource. He's offered it for free. Go check it out, his website at you can get a link to it on the left-hand column of the website through Abundaculture. But download that resource. It's fantastic, and you can learn all about compost and toilet. But what he uses is sawdust, and you know, every time he has a bowel movement, he just puts some sawdust in there, and it takes away all the odor, takes away the smell, and is able to bind up the nitrogen in that with the carbon, and it works like to be a great system. And I have not gotten to that level yet, but it is in the future. And so composting toilet is another great means of recycling God's waste. Another way in which you can do this is using worm bins. And worm bins are a great way of composting because you can get some of the highest quality worm bins that are available, or the highest quality compost that is available using worm bins. And a lot of people have had success stacking worm bins with rabbits. And you, of course, rabbits have great manure that can be used. It's very high quality manure for gardening and things like that. And some people have captured that manure into worm bins. Those worms then decompose the manure even further into compost and works out to be a great system. And so worm compost is fantastic. And you know, you can get elaborate systems or you can get pretty simple ones. There's all kinds of examples and diagrams online where you can do them out of just regular plastic bins. You can get at Walmart or wherever. And a great way to be able to create decomposers in a structured environment to help you with your composting. And then you can also compost in place. And one of the things about composting in place is that you can not have to worry about hauling the compost to and from. And when you make a compost pile, you put the organic material into the pile. You have to carry it to the pile, put it into the pile. Then you got to stir the pile up, keep it going. Once it decomposes, then you take all that compost and then you spread it onto your plants, onto your garden, wherever you're putting it. And so you really have an extra steps there. If you take your kitchen scraps and leaves that you trim down, your weeds, whatever you pulled up, you take all those things and then you actually put them underneath a mulch that you have in the garden, whether it be a hay mulch or a straw mulch or a wood chip mulch, whatever it might be, and you put that underneath that layer, then those are going to decompose very quickly exposed to that soil and the organisms that are in it. And then that's going to break down and provide all that humus content. And so it might cause a little bit more ordeal at first to get into a system of composting them in place, but that is a fantastic way of composting, and that is composting in place. Of course, this is what mulch does in itself, is it composts in place. Another way in which you can compost is by using livestock. It's not necessarily the way most people think of compost because they think of a compost pile, but when livestock are actually recycling the organic matter themselves, they are, in a sense, composting. They're just doing it live. And some of the best composters are hogs. You've probably heard of your grandparents if you're, you know, of my generation, or if you're older, maybe you know of your parents, or maybe you have actually done this, where you sloughed hogs. You took the kitchen scraps and the waste that you had from lunch and breakfast, dinner, whatever it might be, and you take it out and throw it out to the hogs. And they then take those and they eat them up and poop out the remains. And, you know, it's a way of recycling that in a better system than what you can do on your own. And so you can involve hogs, you can involve chickens. You know, chickens are another one of these things that take chicken scraps and they change it into manure. And rabbits are great at this as well, especially leaves and weeds from the garden, that kind of thing. You know, I used to fret at having to weed gardens. Now I actually like it because I know that when I'm weeding gardens, I'm actually providing feed and food for my rabbits. And so that's a great way of recycling that resource as well and composting kind of in place while using other vehicles to compost for you. So that's kind of an alternative way of composting, that is through livestock, but it's an effective way. Now I want to talk a little bit about how to apply compost. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's pretty basic, but you can apply compost in a couple different ways. You can side dress plants that are already there. So let's say you've got some tomatoes that are staked out, or you know they're climbing up your cages, whatever they might be, and you've got some compost, and tomatoes are heavy feeders, so you know you're supposed to put some extra compost on there, or fertilizer, whatever. You don't want to use the fertilizer from the store, so you say, oh, I'll take them from my compost pile. So you go and get some buckets or two from the compost pile, and you wheelbarrow, whatever it is, and you take that compost, and you put it around the edges of the tomato. And in a sense, what you're doing by that is you are side dressing. Now, side dressing typically is referred to on a row planting, where you would go down the row and you would side dress the plants with the compost or the fertilizer, whatever it is. But the same thing can be true when you're doing it in a circular situation with like a tomato or something like that. And so you can side dress, you can work it into the soil. This is what people often do when they till. They take compost, or at least I'm hoping they put at least some compost in before they till. But, you know, they put it in there and then they till it, and it mixes the compost into the first, you know, few inches of the soil, and it cultivated it in that regard. And a lot of people do that. Of course, I'm not a big fan of that kind of cultivation because it requires so much machinery and it destroys the structure of the soil and kills off life that is going on there and that kind of thing. So I'm not a big fan of rototilling the soil. But nonetheless, you can work into the soil that way. You can do that with a rake also. You can just kind of mix it up with a rake or other means. You can chop it up and get it mixed in the first couple inches of the soil. Another way in which you can apply compost is actually using it as a mulch. You have to put it in pretty thick to be able to use it as a mulch, but you can certainly do that. I did some of that this spring with some compost that I had. I just basically planted everything, and I put a couple inches of compost over that, over them. And, of course, that worked in a couple of ways. It worked to continue to increase the soil depth of organic matter in the soil, but it also contributed to the soil quality and kept it moist and worked much like a mulch would do, because compost actually has a lot of sponginess to it, just as other organic material does. And then the fourth way that you can use compost is as a compost tea. This is particularly good for manures, especially rabbit manure, but you can use it as just regular compost as well. And the way you do that basically is you take some compost and then you take water and you flush the compost with water so that the material that comes out the other end of your straining device, whatever straining device you're using, whether it's, you know, some kind of netting or some kind of screen or film or something like that, whatever it is you're using that is porous enough for the water to go through but not for the compost, what you will get on the other end is a very liquid form of highly valued and mineral intent emulsion material. And emulsion, by that I basically mean you spray this on or you pour it around something, you pour it on, and it is a very effective way of boosting the mineral, vitamin, nutrition content to plants that are growing. And so using compost tea is another way. And I know that this is a step beyond just the basic composting, but nonetheless, it is a fantastic way of applying the compost. So hopefully that has been helpful to you in understanding compost. And maybe for those of you who have never started to compost, let me encourage you to compost. Even if you are in a suburban lot, and you know your neighbors don't want you to compost, you can throw a few bins out there. You can make it look nice and begin to recycle some of the material that you would ordinarily take to the landfill or recycle somewhere else. Recycle it on your own property and taking advantage of that. Others of you probably are listening to this and composting. You've been doing that for 30, 40 years, a long time. You figured it all out. Well, maybe this has inspired you to take another step further. Maybe there's something else that you could do compost-wise that would benefit your property and reuse the resources God has given to us and would enable us to continue to grow in production and continue to grow in abundance as we coordinate our efforts with the cycles that God has put into place, and, of course, by doing that with compost. So, with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
Just one.